broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for April 28th in the year of our Lord, 2023. The goal, to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country. To do so on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers, using the supreme law of the land, the blueprint for liberty, the Constitution for the United States of America, with its checks and balances all intact. Wow, we got to really do that, folks. That is the solution at our fingertips today. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled, we're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. Dr. Scott Bradley, of course, with me, freedomsrisingsun.com, his website for all kinds of Dr. Bradley. Incredible information. Doctor, I had on yesterday the Brunson brothers and Ken Cromar. And Ken and Barb have been abused by the IRS, there's no doubt. Now they're in the epic battle of their lives. The Brunson case continuing as well. They've got several cases worming their way through the courts. You know, the problem is that the government is, in my opinion, really a problem. I agree with all that. But at the same time, you know, this situation where Rollin Brunson sues Justices Sotomayor, Brown, and Kagan. Well, the interesting thing is the judge in Salt Lake for Rollin's case issued an order telling the three defendants to respond or be removed from office. Now, Rollin then started a letter-writing campaign for his surprise case on the three justices. Enoughisenough.me is that website to check out, but I find this a very interesting thing. I personally don't think their cases will go anywhere. What I mean is the criminals are just too in charge now, and they can thumb their nose at us at every turn. Nevertheless, I thought I'd get your kind of take on this. There's so many twists and turns. Their cases are very hard to even understand, Doctor.
Well, I don't think they're hard to understand. I think they're wrong. And I've presented extensively in regards to it. And I know there's a lot of people that put a lot of stock in it. They put a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of passion. But being passionate about something does not make it right. I mean, adultery's wrong, you know. So there may be passion in it, but it's still wrong. And so I'm saddened greatly by the attention that this is getting. They've had two cases that have been rejected by the Supreme Court, and rightly so. I believe there was another approach that should have been done, that these cases should not have gone the route they did. And in essence, and I know we probably don't want to spend a whole hour on this, although we could, I could go down chapter and verse, the United States Constitution, exactly why this was not the approach to do it. It would have literally destroyed the United States Constitution had their two initial runs at this happened. And here's, and I'll try and net it out as quickly and succinctly as I can. Their intent was to get, I think it was 388, something like that, members of Congress and the executive branch booted out of office. Okay, now, so in essence, it would have been all the elected Democrats and a couple of Republicans. But here's the deal. If you could shut down, if the Supreme Court, with a 5-4 ruling, could shut down the United States legislative body, the House and the Senate, which is what it would have done, it would have removed these people from office. If they had been able to remove them from office, the legislature would have gone away. And if they had removed the president and vice president from office, the executive branch would have gone away. And so, in essence, five members of the unelected Supreme Court would have had sway to completely eradicate the House and the Senate, and the office of the president. Okay, so those five members would have become an oligarchy. If they had the power to do that, they would have become an oligarchy that have ruled and reigned in our nation with whatever terror they put up. It would have eradicated the United States Constitution. The structure of the Constitution would have been gone. It would have got away from our separation of powers, our checks and balances. There would have been no legislative body to make legislature, to make laws. There would have no executive branch to execute those laws. The Supreme Court would have truly been supreme from these things. Now, again, we could talk detail, point by point, through the United States Constitution, what would have happened had this gone about. Now, I've had plenty of discussions. I've had people come to my house. I've had people in great anger about this. But this is netting it out. It's to connect the dots to the end of the row, if you will. And there is no other way it can be interpreted. Now, again, there's other approaches that could have and should have been done, but were not. This was not the right approach. A lot of people are angry. In fact, a very good friend of mine, someone I love like a brother, was just livid at me, and he yelled at me one day, "Have you read the cases?" And I, at the time, said, "Well, I haven't, but I know where it's going." He says, "If you haven't read the cases, you don't have a you can't say a word on it." I says, "All right, I'll read the cases." And I did. I came to the same conclusion because it had the same outcome. We cannot burn the house down to save the house. There was a little village on the southern point of, it wasn't a village, it was a town, in the Mekong Delta, and the 1968 Tet Offensive. And the U.S. Army major that gave the report, the briefing on it, said we had to destroy the town to save it. This is not the approach to use. What would happen if an oligarchy got rid of the House and the Senate and the presidency, and they were the number of five standing there at the end, the only one standing, and they said, what's next, baby? There is no backup plan. There is no legislature.
Let me stop you there to make the point. It's kind of like a con. In other words, it's kind of like the military plan that they're going to bring in the military and Donald's going to be back as president. Folks, you will never, ever save America by reducing it to a few people who have incredibly good intentions that will save us all. That is not a plan. That is against the Founding Fathers' view, and it will never work, okay? Because despots will take charge. The enemies will reign supreme. It'll be a bloodbath if people don't cooperate and go along. This is disaster, Dr. Bradley.
Unquestionably. I mean, and there's so many analogies that we could draw. And if people don't have a sense of history and they don't have a grasp of the baseline principles, it's very difficult to have a conversation about this. But let's just take Napoleon, for example. You know, here we are a couple hundred years ago, you know, and here's the French Revolution going on. It's a bloodbath. You know, they got the anarchy going on. Marriage is tyranny and slavery, and the official religion is atheism, and the people just got sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they needed somebody to save them from themselves. And so they threw their hands up and they said, "Save us, please." Napoleon was waiting in the wings, and he says, "I can do it. I can do it. But you've got to give me all power and make me emperor for life and all this kind of stuff, you know. They, please, please, take it over. We can't do it without you." And he did. And he spent the next years tromping around Europe, an absolute tyranny, building an empire, and I don't know if this is absolutely true, but my understanding was the next generation of Frenchmen were an inch shorter because he took all the big guys. This was a very physical warfare. You know, you stabbed each other with the points of bayonets, and you ran into each other's ranks and knocked them down, and, you know, so he wanted all the big guys on his side, and he got them all slaughtered. The slaughter across all of Europe was millions, because Napoleon became the tyrant. Now, I don't know the exact outcome of something like this in the United States, but we can't get rid of the legislature. We can't get rid of the executive. And the idea that this is where we would go with this is absolutely shocking to me. Again, your point about the con. Here are people that there is nothing wrong with the Constitution. The people that want to have the convention They can't identify. I have had debates and discussions and everything, and they say, oh, well, we have an unbalanced budget. That's not a problem of the Constitution. That's a problem because we ignore the Constitution. Well, we have all of these military adventurist wars out there. That's not a problem with the Constitution. No. We ignore the Constitution. We do that. Every single problem that we have could be resolved if we return to the original intent of the American Founding Fathers. If we followed the plain English language of the Constitution. And what they're trying to do, really, I believe, they're arrogant enough to think that if they got their fingerprints on it, they would be perceived as these great American Founding Fathers. And suddenly, they're elevated in the eyes. No, they would, in my mind, they would be the destructors of the greatest, freest, most prosperous, most happy, most respected nation on earth when they got to do this. And so, you know, you think, who's going to be there for the CONCON? Who's going to be there when we got rid of the legislature and the executive? Who's going to be there? Who is going to pick up the pieces? And honestly, nobody's thought about that. And even if they did think about it, well, they're going to say, put me in. They're not going to say that about me, obviously. But they're going to say it about somebody. Put him in. Put her in. And that's not the way it's done. And the Section 6 of the first article of the Constitution talks about, and we can explain in detail if you want.
We'll do it. We'll come back and explain that. I also want to explain myself, ladies and gentlemen, because you're kind of thinking, well, why are you on with Scott saying this, and why were you on with them yesterday saying that? I'm going to explain all that so people get it. You're listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I want to be very clear about my responses and my role in relation to being a talk show host, etc. And I want to be very clear about that. And so, you know, some would say, well, Sam, if you disagree with Ken, if you disagree with the Brunson brothers, why would you have them on? And why would you say things that agree with them? And then you get Dr. Bradley on and you say something totally different. That's half true. It's not all true. Let me explain what I mean by that. Number one, the reason that I have these people on, even though I disagree with them often, is because they're hot news topics and because they have incredible reality checks. I believe that a CONCON is a threat to America. And sometimes I have people that advocate for a CONCON on because you people need to decide and you need to learn what their arguments are and you need to get hardened in your understanding so that you can educate. And when someone brings up something new, you're not like, oh, what? Oh my gosh. You're more like, you know what? I've heard that a gazillion times and here's why I disagree with that. Okay, so part of it is that I have these people on, even if I disagree with people, because I want you to learn the different sides of the story. If you only learn our side, you can't understand the whole topic. You get shocked. The more you understand the whole debate, the more comfortable you'll be with the conclusions we draw and why, right? So yesterday with Ken, I agreed the IRS is abusing him and we should shut down the IRS. That doesn't mean that I agree 100% with the actions he's taking, okay? We agree with the problem. The solution, we may go about it differently. That's fine. But you can hear from Ken, and you can make up your own mind, people. I don't need to make it up for you. I'm not the mainstream press. I can tell you the who, what, when, where, why of a story and let you decide. But I'm also not the shock jock, and I'm also not the takeout man, okay? I don't bring people on into my lair so that I can show how smart they are or I am and how dumb they are and how I can just take a break and cut them off. And I don't do that to people. If I'm going to bring you on, I'm going to give you a fair chance to say what you think, even if I 100% disagree. And I'm not going to assault you or create a big Jerry Springer. By the way, the poor guy died yesterday. I don't do the Jerry Springer plan. You know what? You come on, I can completely disagree with you, and I'll help you make your points. As a talk show host, I will help you articulate. I'll bring up a couple of questions and have you answer a couple of hard things, but I'll let you make your points because this isn't the Sam Bushman show. This isn't Sam Bushman. He can spank anybody with his arms tied behind his back because he's the greatest debater. This is a You Can Learn show. This is Liberty Roundtable. And people have different viewpoints on liberty and different viewpoints on, I wouldn't attack the founding fathers, even though they may disagree. I'd have them both on and learn from both of them. And I'd make up my own mind as I expect you to do the same. So yesterday, you know what? I agreed with a lot of their points. Hey, these judges need to review some of these cases. These judges are derelict in their duty. These members of Congress are derelict in their duty. That's true. What's the remedy? And I don't know that going to the Supreme Court's the answer. Richard Mack teaches. He went to the Supreme Court and won, and it's a blessing that he won. But if he had to do it all over again, he wouldn't go to the Supreme Court because that's not where the answers are found. Nullification and some of these things are a much, much better plan. Okay, but you know what? It's instructive to learn. It's instructive to understand. So I let them make their points, and I agree with a lot of their points. I disagree with the way they're going about it. But you know what? You can hear how they're going about it, and you can hear the progress in the case and what the next steps. I said flat out on the air that I don't think their case will be successful. I think the criminals are above us so much they're just going to simply ignore the case anyway. Even though I don't believe they should all be dismissed, we shouldn't dismiss the whole of the Congress for the most part, most of the Congress, and we shouldn't dismiss the Supreme Court. Who do you have left? Kamala Harris, because Joe can't think? I mean, come on now. So I don't agree, and I brought up that I don't think they have a snowball's chance in heck to make this happen. What do you guys say to that? And they, you know, brought up that, hey, we're in real trouble if we can't get a handle on this thing. They're right about that, too. But I believe they're going about the problem wrong. It reminds me of the Mount Hare Wildlife Refuge, Dr. Bradley. I went up there to the peaceful rally for the Hammonds. But when Hammond took over the wildlife refuge, I left and said, I think that's a bad idea. I agree with the problems. The government's belligerent on land, and they're out of control, and I agree 100% with them and on the facts, but our solution, our remedy is different. Now, you can agree with Ammon or you can agree with me, and I'm still friends with Ammon, and I'll have Ammon on the program and talk to him and be kind to him, and we can just agree to disagree. But I'm here, one, as a talk show host to make sure that you have the information, and then, two, I'm here as an educator to share my viewpoints and why, and use the in my opinion, power of influence and patience and kindness and logic and love and to slowly but surely help people think my way. But I'm not here to do it by force, and I'm not here to attack other people. So as a talk show host, I bring out all the information. As a person, I tell you what I personally think. And I told them I don't think their case has a chance. And I've told Ken Cromer I don't think him being on the run is the best plan. I think he should solve this problem with him. And so I think differently about the solutions, and I'm not in jail either. But you know what? They have a right to their viewpoints, too, and this is America, not China, and I believe in free speech, and I believe in letting them tell their side of the story, too. That's another kind of key point here. I'm not here to just tell my side or prove my side. I'm here to let you people as Americans think, and I'm here to report the information the best I can. Dr. Bradley, what do you think of that response?
Well, I think it's a great response, and I hope before the break I get a chance to tell you what Thomas Jefferson said. But just prior to that, I'd like to say, every time the news comes at the top and the bottom of the hour, I almost think you ought to have a disclaimer that says these views do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the management. I mean, it's so far off from principle so often, and I know we've discussed this, that they're hard to find some principled news station. But
it'd be easy to find one. We could build one if people would put their money where their mouth is, but you can't even get 100 money. Americans to do that.
I agree. Let me tell you what Thomas Jefferson said about some of these things you've been talking about. He said, this is a little, it's going to take a minute or two, but hopefully we got that before the break. He said, to consider the judges as the ultimate arbiters of all constitutional questions is, just a second, my computer's arguing with me, to consider the judges as the ultimate arbiters of all constitutional questions is a very dangerous doctrine indeed, and one which would place us under a despotism of an oligarchy. Our judges are as honest as other men, and not more so. They have with others the same passions for party, for power, than the privileges of their corps, and their power is the more dangerous as they are in office for life and not responsible as the other functionaries are to the elective control. The Constitution has erected no such single tribunal, knowing that to whatever hands confided, with the corruptions of time and party, its members would become despots. It has more wisely made all the departments co-equal and co-sovereign within themselves. The Constitution, in keeping three departments and independent, restrains the authority of the judges to judiciary organs as it does the executive and legislative to executive and legislative organs. When the legislative or executive functionaries act unconstitutionally, they are responsible to the people in their elective capacity. The exemption of the judges from that is from elections, is quite dangerous enough. I know of no safe depository of the ultimate powers of society but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power. If the three powers maintain their mutual independence of each other, the government may last long, but it not so if either can assume the authorities of the others. End quote. So here we have a lifetime of experience in governance. I mean, the guy helped write the Declaration. Well, he was the principal author of the Declaration of Independence. His involvement all through the years, his serving as Secretary of State, as Vice President, as President. This is after all that's happened. All this came from a letter from September of 1820. He's in the twilight of his years. He's got a perspective on things that I think few, if any, have had. A brilliant, brilliant mind. But to take and
well, and he
usurp,
highlights the remedy, which is, you know what, folks, you don't like the way the Supreme Court justices are acting? Push to impeach them. You don't like the way your Congress is acting? You know what? Turn them out and elect somebody else, ladies and gentlemen. And you say, well, Sam, there's election fraud. We can't do that. Yeah, you can. You can go precinct by precinct and demand honest elections. There's ways to get this done, folks. But what we want to do is go to the top and have two people make all the decisions. We want to go to the top and have the president solve everything. We've got a magic man in power. We've got some. It doesn't work that way, folks. Our system is designed to prevent that. Thank the heavens from even the good guys supposedly with the best intentions. Thank heavens we kind of protect ourselves from ourselves via these documents as well, Doctor.
Well, indeed. And let's look at Article 1, Section 6 for just a second. This, everybody says, oh, my goodness, the House and the Senate, they're immune from their own laws and all that. And I can demonstrate with hours, literally, of discussion about this while that is not the case.
But all right, I want you to hang
sounds
on.
Sounds like we got to take a break.
Yeah, we're going to do the Constitution in seconds. Dr. Bradley, I have plenty of time for it. And if we get to the other things I have on the docket, great. If we don't, fine. This is vital, folks. When I bring people on, though, I want you to know that I try to be fair and kind to them. I want it to be an educational opportunity all the time. Now, my opinion is, hey, the elections are the solution. And if you got election fraud, we can fix it on the most local of levels.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. Two U.S. Army helicopters on a training flight collided in Alaska yesterday, leaving three soldiers dead and a fourth injured. A spokesman for the U.S. Army Alaska, John Pennell, is reporting each of the AH-64 Apache helicopters involved in the crash were carrying two people. The crash happened near Healy, Alaska, while returning to Fort Wainwright near Fairbanks. Healy, Alaska is roughly 250 miles north of Anchorage. Cleanup crews are responding after a tornado swept through Florida last night.
A tornado warning stretched across multiple counties and one touched down in Hosford. Dozens of buildings and homes were destroyed and every resident in Hosford lost power. A severe weather threat is still in effect across most of Florida and parts of southern Georgia. The National Weather Service predicts severe storms to continue to progress east-southeast across the Big Bend area today. I'm Skip Kelly.
Russia has launched a wave of airstrikes this morning against cities across Ukraine, including Kyiv, leaving at least 12 people dead. Ukrainian President Zelensky said the apartment block was among 10 residential buildings that were attacked and shows further international action is needed to be taken against invading Russia. Chinese authorities have done an about-face after launching an open-for-business message to global investors. In the past several weeks, reports from the area to the Wall Street Journal say Chinese authorities have questioned staff at consulting firm Bain & Company's Shanghai office in a surprise visit, launched a cybersecurity review of imports from chipmaker Micron Technologies, detained an employee of Japanese drug maker Astellas Pharma, and raided the Beijing office of U.S. due diligence company Mintz Group. Today is National Arbor Day. Broadleaf, evergreen, conifer. How well do you really know your trees? This is USA News.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is if you don't protect your liberties as we the people, we will lose them. You cannot turn it over to somebody else and expect it to go well, Dr. Bradley.
Well, and really and truly, there are checks and balances between the different branches or departments of government. They were clearly written into the United States Constitution. And this ability to basically impose the will of one department on another was simply not put into there. And the let's look at Article 1, Section 6, you know, that starts out with the senators and representatives shall, and then let's jump down another sentence, in all cases except treason, felony, and breach of the peace, be privileged from arrest during their attendance at the session of their respective houses, and in going to and returning from the same, and for any speech or debate in either house, they shall not be questioned in any other place. Okay, now, I'm going to take a little side trip here for just a moment. And the approach for some of these Supreme Court cases is saying, oh, no, this was treason, so it can participate. Treason is clearly defined in Article 3, Section 3. And it says therein, treason against the United States shall consist in only, that's a one word, only, in levying war against them or in adhering to their enemies, giving aid and comfort. Okay, now the enemies are pretty rare nowadays because we haven't declared a war. Okay, so treason is narrowly defined in the Constitution. And so for them to claim what happened during the certification of the election as treason is a far cry from that definition. But let's go back to Article 1, Section 6 again. What is this? They delegated the authority for these legislators, senators and representatives, except in these few noted cases, be privileged from arrest during their attendance in the session of their respective houses, going to and returning from the same, or from any speech or debate in either house. They shall not be questioned in any other place. And so there's a very limited, in fact, it's almost non-existent ability to go in and beat these guys up over these things. And why is that? Well, because the king had historically, and the founding fathers were very understanding of this, the king had historically arrested members of parliament going to and from a vote. If he knew they were against his position, he'd arrest them. Throw away the key maybe sometimes, but he kept them out of circulation at least until the vote was over and he'd won. And they did not want the executive imposing his will on the legislators. They are independent. They can work this out. Now, we could talk at length about how this has been used by different legislators over time. But that was a real danger. If the executive got too big for his britches and decided he was going to lord over the representatives by arresting them every time they were going in to vote for something he didn't like, they couldn't have that. And so they stopped it. Okay? And so these kind of checks and balances that were there and where there was some overlap with things that they worked together on, like the veto or not, and this idea of nomination and confirming of Supreme Court justices and other judges, all those kind of things. There was a collaborative effort, but there was a separating effort that also kept the independence of the organizations. Each one takes an oath to uphold the Constitution, and they've got to keep their actions within that. So let's go for a second over here to where it should have
been.
Hold
on, before you go on, and if they don't live within that, there are constitutional remedies. What we always want to do is seek for a remedy outside of the supreme law. Don't do that, people. I know you mean well. I know you believe that, you know what, time is of the essence and the ends justify the means and whatever you want to come up, but you got to stop that. If you don't like your elected representatives, you can unelect them every 2 years, every 6 years, whatever the case, every 4 years. If you don't like the Supreme Court justices, they can be impeached. There are ways to solve the problem, but they're not ways that blow up the whole system. They're ways that strategically take care of a problem using the checks and balances. And that's why we start every program out that way. That is the brilliant solution, Doctor.
Just go to George Washington's farewell address. If, in the opinion of the people, the distribution or modification of the constitutional powers be in any particular wrong, it's not being abused, it's wrong. If the Constitution's wrong, there's a way to fix it. He says, let it be corrected by an amendment in the way which the Constitution designates, but let there be no change by usurpation, like a Supreme Court decision that gets rid of the House, the Senate, and the presidency. Okay, going on with the statement. For though this in one instance may be the instrument of good, it's the customary weapon by which free governments are destroyed. This decision would have destroyed our free government. Now, we need to understand that even if, you know, you mentioned nullification earlier, and nullification is a grand and glorious constitutional principle that should be applied vigorously and actively far more often than it ever has been. But
yeah, one of the times we believe in liberalism, liberally, ladies and gentlemen.
Here's the deal, though. Nullification has limits and bounds, too. We could spend a whole lot of time about it. Here's just in a nutshell. And Jefferson and Madison completely agreed on this, was the fact that nullification is a constitutional and valid process. But if something has been delegated through constitutional means to an organization, let's say a tariff, because this is a real-world example, the Congress has the authority to create tariffs. And so when South Carolina tried to nullify some of those acts, Jefferson and Madison were against it. Well, actually, Madison was, because it happened after Jefferson died. But Madison says, no, I'm against this. And everybody goes, oh, see, he's against nullification. No, he was against trying to take back by nullification something that constitutionally was authorized to the body to do. So if there's something that's constitutionally delegated, it is exercised improperly, They said the corrective, and Jefferson said this back in 1798, as well as Madison, the corrective is through the ballot box. If they try to take something that an exercise that was not delegated, the corrective is nullification. So nullification has circumstances in which it is authorized and permitted and really demanded, and other times where nullification doesn't work either. So we need to have an understanding of how to apply the correct principles. So like Washington said, this idea of, sometimes, though it's in one instance a good instrument, it's the customary weapon by which free governments are destroyed. So if we do usurpation and we use it improperly, nullification can be used improperly. It shouldn't be, and it will destroy the free government. Constitutionally, the courts can be used improperly, and it'll destroy free governments. Legislative bodies that delegate authority to the IRS, for example, to create law, that's an improper use, and it destroys free governments. See, the idea that we have to rewrite the Constitution because it's wrong is an incorrect approach. It's not wrong. It's that we've stopped applying it. Okay? So these issues are things that we need to have an appropriate response, and this idea of taking a sledgehammer in to drive a thumbtack is really going to destroy the nation. Now, let's just take a second.
This idea to focus on the wrong remedy. Folks, you need the right remedy for the problem. And when you have a problem, you say, okay, let's identify the problem, and then let's find the constitutional supreme law of the land remedy to deal with that problem. Okay, everybody wants to try to build a better mousetrap. Look, the history, the couple of hundred years history of the greatest country on the face of the earth, affording more freedom to more people ever than ever before. Okay, this tried and true experiment of the founding fathers has been proven successful. When we obey it, the success happens. When we don't obey it, tragedy and misstep is the only result that we've seen for over 200 years. What more do you people need, for crying out loud?
Yeah,
talk to Bradley.
We keep trying to, like I say, use that sledgehammer to drive a thumbtack, and you can push it in with your thumb. It works. And that's what thumbtacks were designed for. And this Constitution is very specific. And when you read the Bill of Rights and you realize that we retained all our rights, even if they weren't mentioned, that's the Ninth Amendment. The Tenth Amendment says if the general government, federal government, national government, however you want to say it, was not delegated authority, it does not have it. And you do not have the ability in the Supreme Court to dissolve the legislative body and the executive branch. They say, they could be reconstituted. How? What do you do when everything has been tossed under the bus, run over, and just mangled under the bus? What do you do when you set a precedence like that? You are absolutely setting, at some future time, there'll be an FDR that comes into power and says, I'm going to pack the Supreme Court. And of course, Biden has considered this too. And if we can get enough votes there, we'll take over the whole nation. It'll happen, people.
And if they do that, it won't be very pretty either, ladies and gentlemen. You wish it ain't happened. I'll tell you that right now. Pardon the pun. We'll come back. I got two other stories to focus on before the end of the hour. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Matthew 24:24 teaches us that the church is deceived today. Deceived Christians call themselves Judeo-Christians. Around 1900, Jews commissioned the Scofield Reference Bible, which transformed the Jews from Christian killers to the chosen people. Here's the truth. America is in the Bible. Revelation 21. Our form of government came down from heaven. Verse 3. The many Christian ministers at the Constitutional Convention sought God's will. The God-given rights in the Constitution were ordained by God. America is the new promised land for Christian Israel, and Christians are the true chosen people. True Israel is Christian. Listen to Jesus, quote, my sheep follow me, unquote, and, quote, you do not believe because you are not my sheep, unquote. John 10:25-27. The beast has transformed America into the woman mystery Babylon, Revelation chapter 17. For the complete Bible study, write to Christian Knuckles, P.O. Box 210813, Royal Palm Beach, Florida 33421.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Yes, indeed, the power of love is all that can save us. We're talking Christ-like love, I'll tell you that right now. Look, we need the rightful remedy, the headline for this topic. Let's please apply the rightful remedy, the proper role of constitutional limited government. That is the answer, folks. I'm telling you right now. All right, Tucker Carlson, as you know, got fired. The whole world's kind of tripping out and raging about it and everything else. Tucker posts a video. I'm going to play the audio from that video. True things prevail. Now, Tucker's right about this. Did he get fired because of a spiritual battle? You know, I talk about how they wanted me to be a big radio guy on a big network. And they said, Sam, you got to quit talking about God and we'll put you on the radio and make you a star. And I said, I won't do it. Forget it. If God's out, I'm out. Glenn Beck came along years after I said that and said he got let go of Fox because he wanted to pray and talk about God. Now the same battle and discussion points are relating to Tucker Carlson. The mainstream press is anti-Christ, folks, sadly true. And they simply believe in communist principles. They under controlled opposition, pose as we report, you decide, pose as the conservative guys. But they don't tell the tale like we are. And the only reason that I insist on owning my own networks and everything else is so that I don't get taken down. I don't have a boss. I say whatever I want to. You don't like it? Tough beans. You know what? I say what I think is right, and I'll continue to do that. And if my show's small as a result, so be it. Don't care. I'm in it for the right reasons, to set the record straight before the judgment bar of Christ. I'm in it to influence people for good with time and patience and love and kindness and respect and civility, but absolute clarity as well. Anyway, I digress, but here's Tucker Carlson.
Good evening, it's Tucker Carlson. One of the first things you realize when you step outside the noise for a few days is how many genuinely nice people there are in this country. Kind and decent people, people who really care about what's true, and a bunch of hilarious people also, a lot of those. It's gotta be the majority of the population, even now. So that's heartening. The other thing you notice when you take a little time off is how unbelievably stupid most of the debates you see on television are. They're completely irrelevant. They mean nothing. In 5 years, we won't even remember that we had them. Trust me, as someone who's participated. And yet at the same time, and this is the amazing thing, the undeniably big topics, the ones that will define our future, get virtually no discussion at all. War, civil liberties, emerging science, demographic change, corporate power, natural resources. When was the last time you heard a legitimate debate about any of those issues? It's been a long time. Debates like that are not permitted in American media. Both political parties and their donors have reached consensus on what benefits them, and they actively collude to shut down any conversation about it. Suddenly, the United States looks very much like a one-party state. That's a depressing realization, but it's not permanent. Our current orthodoxies won't last. They're brain dead. Nobody actually believes them. Hardly anyone's life is improved by them. This moment is too inherently ridiculous to continue, and so it won't. The people in charge know this. That's why they're hysterical and aggressive. They're afraid. They've given up persuasion. They're resorting to force. But it won't work. When honest people say what's true, calmly and without embarrassment, they become powerful. At the same time, the liars who've been trying to silence them shrink, and they become weaker. That's the iron law of the universe. True things prevail. Where can you still find Americans saying true things? There aren't many places left, but there are some, and that's enough. As long as you can hear the words, there is hope. See you soon.
Very interesting prose. I think Tucker gave an incredible speech. And some would say Tucker's controlled by the opposition. I don't know that. You know what? Glenn Beck, Tucker Carlson, many of these people are getting more and more and more educated over time. It used to be a massive difference between me and the mainstream press, at least the conservative side. Now the conservatives, as they're all getting jettisoned by the pretenders, and they start to come true. Even Glenn Beck now decided he did not want a con. He's coming to his senses. Dr. Bradley, pretty interesting statement from Tucker Carlson. I'm sure we haven't seen the last of him. It looks like The Blaze, and it looks like the OWN networks have both made him multi-million dollar offers. We'll see where he ends up. Very interesting how once these people don't have the shackles of these pretenders in the mainstream press with controlled opposition, they start to stand up for a whole lot more truth than we like to see it.
It's a very interesting discussion, and I'm sure in the last few minutes we wouldn't do it justice, but the point of the matter is there's a lot of unanswered questions about how this happened. I mean, what company? What idiot company? I mean, if it's a sports company, a beer company, or whatever, takes a successful brand or athlete or representative or whatever, their top salesman, whatever, and they chuck them overboard. I mean, there's so much that we don't know at this point, and it's not being said. You know, the Dominion thing, a back road agreement to that, when the Fox said they'd pay $750 million to Dominion on the thing, they may have had a handshake and a kiss over getting rid of Tucker. It may have been his thing at the Heritage Foundation where he talked about prayer and giving 10 minutes a day to pray for the nation. It may have been some of the idiot things that that most of the people were talking about throughout this so-called pandemic, where Tucker said, no, wait, there's some other things to think about. I mean, there's this nonsense of made-up sexual status that he's scratching his head over a lot. I mean, there's so many things he was politically incorrect on. His heritage is questionable, and we could talk about that a little bit in terms of how did he, you know, come about this awakening, and maybe you're right. Maybe they're just getting smarter. Maybe they're just seeing what's going to make them popular and make a lot of money, and they're standing with it. I don't know.
But my role is simple. When they're right, I give them credit and praise, and when right. They're wrong, I tell you why I think they're wrong. That's all.
Exactly. And I think that lately, Tucker Carlson has made some extremely astute observations that everybody should have been saying, duh, what in the world are people thinking right now? And maybe he's just to the point that they couldn't take it anymore. But Fox is getting their heads handed to him on a platter with this thing.
Oh, no question. But I'll tell you what I love. Like, he said that, you know what, if you calmly speak the truth and you're not afraid of it or embarrassed of it, then the lies shrink and you gain tremendous power. That's a really wise factual statement that we've lived by on the radio for more than 25 years, Doctor.
Absolutely. But there has been a concerted effort to silence that. I mean, you look at, I got deplatformed and lost 1,500 videos of principles-based videos that help build these things. I think their intention was to do the same thing to Tucker and to Glenn and to Bill O'Reilly. I mean, some of these people that Fox has jettisoned over the years. And I think that they're going to be hard-pressed to regain the confidence of the people that have been loyal to them. No, I don't think they ever will.
Newsmax is rising on the downfall of Fox, and I'm not commending Newsmax either. You know,
Chris Ruddy was
backing Hillary Clinton and this kind of stuff. But every one of us is gaining prestige and power. The more we speak the truth, the more we calmly state the truth and educate, the more power we gain, and the more they shrink. Speaking of that, the battle with Disney continues with Ron DeSantis and Disney, and I wanted to mention this too. Disney now filed a massive lawsuit against Ron DeSantis, interestingly enough, alleging that the governor has relentlessly waged a weaponizing campaign, weaponizing government power against Disney. Now, that's interesting because they've been weaponizing government power against us forever. But it's a fascinating breakdown there, too, where Disney kind of had their own government And now that's being dismantled, and they're literally rioting over this, Doctor.
Well, if we could spend a lot of time on that one, too. What Disney had was an improper form of government. Let's put it that way. We have a Republican form of government. Nothing to do with the party. It has to do with the representative form of government. Disney was granted a special dispensation to rule with blood and horror over their land where they could, a given geographic area, I should say more appropriately, where they could levy taxes and create all sorts of benefits for the corporate view. And this special interest group kind of thing, we could go back and quote some things I've done before where we talk about how when we allow those things to happen, we the people, end up, basically taking it in the chops. And Disney has been doing this over the geography that they were granted special dispensation over, which never should have been done. And now that it's being taken away from them, they're saying, oh, no, the government's too big. I admit, almost every government is way too big. The government should only step in when moral law is being violated, basically. And yeah, they can, we can agree that we're going to pay for roads and stuff like that. But this idea that government has got to be Lord and Master over everything and all of us, it should never be the case either. So Disney's right, Disney's wrong. But Disney was it was improperly delegated to them, this governance thing over the territory that this huge geography that communities built up in, where Disney leveraged, this kind of taxation without representation kind of thing, where Disney was able to have free reign, and it was born on the backs of the people that were there. So it's an interesting argument, an interesting dynamic, but we need to recognize the limits and bounds of government, and moral law is the basis of it, and when we forget that, we're in real trouble. We're in real trouble.
Well, there you have it. I think Ron's right on this. I don't think people should be able to pull the lever of government, special privilege in favor of few at the expense of the many. I don't think corporate world or individuals or groups of individuals should get special privilege. Remember, it's always, when you pull the lever of government in the favor of the few, the rest suffer on that altar, creating classes of people and intentional divisions. It's all got to stop. The Constitution was designed to prevent a lot of that if we just follow it. But as you noticed, ladies and gentlemen, what I've started to do on Fridays is I tease a topic or two or three that I want Dr. Bradley to go off on Monday. Because we have an hour on Monday where you can go ahead and follow up on the key topics. And what I do is I throw out these few things. You get a little bit of a briefing so we're not late to the news table on it, right? But then we can drill in a little bit more on this. So Dr. Bradley, out of those two topics, the Disney one, and the one relating to this kind of battle, if you want, over Tucker Carlson or whatever else. Both of those are critical discussion points, and maybe we pick up on those and drill in a little further on Monday. What do you think of that?
Well, we could do that. I probably have to be retrained on Monday. My attention span is pretty limited, but let's bring them up again. Let's kick them around the block and just see where we go with this thing. These really are kind of deep and wide, and the Disney thing particularly is kind of, a lot of people would think it's an inane, obtuse kind of topic, but governance is a very critical thing that if we allow it to get out of control, it becomes a tyrant and a monster rather than a servant, that's where we're going with government now.
Yeah, and all I can say is this, ladies and gentlemen, remember this. If you think that it's fine and Disney's not a big deal, then why don't you give me some special privilege at the trough? I should be the only radio network that exists, funded by your government, don't you think? Lost your mind, people? Come on now, that's the point. I'm demonstrating the absurd by being extremely absurd. Look, folks, we don't need government radio either. Shut it down. We don't need these competing things. We don't need special privilege. Okay, I don't seek for power. I seek to pull it down. I don't want special privilege, and I don't want anybody else to have it either. For Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, and yours truly, Sam Bushman, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net, God save the Republic of the United States of America.